Hey, devoted dreamers. Welcome to episode 263. In case you didn't notice, I'm doing solo episodes this month, really focused on addressing some of the common concerns I hear when I talk to people about pursuing their God-shaped dream. Last week in episode 262, the topic was just for the dreamer who does not feel ready to start. That like, oh, I just don't feel like I can, or I don't have what I need. And I addressed in there the three traps, one or many, that might be standing in your way if you're one of those people who feels like I'm just not ready to start on my dream yet. So if you haven't heard that one, at some point, go back and listen to 262. But this week is all about what's possible if you could find just 2 hours a week to work on your dream. But before we dive into the why and the how of that topic, I want to tell you about a special event I have coming up on Monday, March 20th. I don't do free workshops very often. It's generally just once a quarter, every 3 months or so, mainly because a lot of my face-to-face hours are spent with the members of my Dreamer Lab. But this month, I've set aside 2 hours on my calendar to join you in a workshop that you're going to want to be a part of if you've had trouble getting started on your dream. So the workshop for next week, it is again, Monday, March 20th. It's at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, and the whole point is to help you understand the fear that comes with having a big dream. And if you feel that, I need you to know you're not the only one that struggles with this, and we can deal with it. We don't just have to like hide under a pillow and hope it goes away. So we're going to talk about, you know, where that fear comes from, how to repurpose it. This is the most important part, so that it can become the fuel your dream needs rather than keeping you stuck or stalled out, rather than keeping your dream on the shelf. We're also going to talk about getting some clarity around the foundational elements that I have found to be essential when it comes to pursuing a dream. What is it that you need to have in place before you begin? And honestly, it's not all that you think. It's not as much as you think. And then, because everyone has questions about this, I'm going to share the top 2 tech tools I've used and one grassroots strategy that helped me gain some confidence as I was at the very beginning stages of getting my dream out into the world. Again, that workshop is on Monday, March 20th, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. We're going to spend 2 hours together. We're going to build some beautiful community. If you have never been face-to-face with other Devoted Dreamers listeners, this is the best experience ever. I am always so pleasantly surprised. Not that I should be surprised, because it's so awesome to hang out with other women who love Jesus, with women who are just practicing this role of surrender to God's plan for their life, as hard as that can be sometimes, and then just trusting Him and also really deeply desiring to use the gifts that He's given them to bring more flourishing, more of God's flourishing, gospel flourishing into the world. Showing up alone will light a fire under you. Just to believe that your dream is possible, because you get to hear other people talk about their dreams and you're like, yes, I totally believe she can do that. And then she reflects that back to you. It's so beautiful. So we're going to cheer each other on for the possibilities of our dreams. You're going to want to register right away. It's at meritonsa.com/momentum. Or if we're connected anywhere on social media, just DM me the word workshop and I will send that link right to you. Here today because you have felt that little nudge. You're not even sure how long it's been there. You just know it's not going away. That idea for a book that has been aching to get out of your brain, or the business you've envisioned that you know can really help people with a specific problem, or maybe it's a concept for a ministry or a nonprofit that would serve your church or your local community, or it's something entirely different that you can't even put a name on yet because you don't have all the details. Whatever it is, you are sure of one thing, that there's something welling up inside of you that's inspiring you to design or create, to build or envision something new that's never existed before. And the Creator Himself has put this passion in you. You can be assured of that. But that feels huge.
and incredibly daunting. If that's you, and you're tired of fear sabotaging your dreams, of spinning your wheels with idea after idea that never goes anywhere, and you want to finally turn that God nudge into a reality, you are in the right place. Hi, I'm Merit Ansah, and I'm here to coach you through the journey of pursuing a God-shaped dream. And you're listening to the Devoted Dreamers podcast, the place where you're going to hear real life stories of Christian women who are just a few steps ahead of you, pursuing their dreams and facing their fears, battling attacks from the enemy who wants you to believe that you don't have what it takes or that someone else has already beat you to it. You are not alone in this. We've all been there. And spoiler alert, this level of discouragement is a tired out, washed up scheme of the enemy. And the good news is, once you see it for what it is, you cannot unsee it. That's why I'm here to come alongside you and coach you through the stages of pursuing a God-shaped dream and provide you with examples from women who have gone before you, as well as some tactical strategies to get you past overthinking and into action. Keep listening and get ready to step outside your comfort zone, run after your dream, and together we're going to build a community of like-minded women who are here to finally pursue our God-shaped dreams. Let's get into today's episode. Okay, so for today's episode, we are talking about getting started with your dream in just 2 hours a week. And I'm going to help you see what's possible if you can find 2 extra hours a week to devote to your dream. So we're going to talk about why time really isn't the limitation that you think it is, despite your busy life. Like whether that's because you're a mom of one too many children who rely on you daily for care and meals and emotional support and all the things and homework help, or maybe you are a homeschooling mom and so you're doing that all the time, or you're working part-time or even full-time. I understand time could feel like a limitation to working on your dream, to even beginning to start to take those early steps because you're already committed in a lot of different places. Maybe you're also volunteering in your community or at your kid's school or with Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or sports teams at church. You are serving and giving and caring for others and your plate is full. And for you, finding 2 hours a week might feel absolutely impossible. But I also want you to see what could happen if you could find those 2 hours and what those 2 hours could do for your dream. My 3 promises for today's episode, I'm going to help you look at time in a new way, not from the perspective of what you lack, but from the perspective of what you already have. So we're going to talk about why time feels like such an enormous barrier. Then secondly, what scripture says about how we spend our time. And then thirdly, how to find that window of time that you need to be able to say yes to this dream. I get it. It's hard to consider saying yes to something that A, doesn't have a lot of structure or boundaries or bumpers to it. Like it could be anything, even if you know as much as like, oh, God's given me a dream to write a book, or maybe it's a Bible study or a devotional, or maybe it's to start a podcast, or you want to build a ministry or launch a business or communicate or teach in some way to others things that you've learned that could help them. If this is a God-shaped dream, it probably feels too big. Like, especially if you don't feel like you have a lot of time to give to it. You're not just like sitting around twiddling your thumbs on a day-to-day basis. Like, I don't know anybody who's doing that, but a God-shaped dream feels enormous. You may have a big vision for what it could be, as in the end result. And if you do have that, it is very likely bigger than anything that you could accomplish on your own. Which is kind of the point. It's why I use the language of a God-shaped dream, that it comes from his heart. It is the size of him. It feels enormous to our little human selves. If it's of him, it's going to be bigger than anything that you could do on your own because it's his dream first. It is meant to bring him glory and to be for the good of those who will be touched by it.
And at the same time that it's his, it is also such a gift that he would bring you along to be shaped and transformed by the experience that you get to be a part of as you end up saying yes to it and then maybe having some freakouts, maybe realizing I cannot do this on my own, being drawn closer to him to engage with the dream that you know is not going to be finished just by your hands, that it cannot be completed without his participation, without his hand on it. And this is what it means to be a devoted dreamer. It's why I named the podcast this in the first place, because inevitably we have to choose to trust him with the dreams he's given us, even if they don't make sense, even if we don't understand how they will ever be realized in any real sense outside of just our gray matter in our brains or whatever it is in our hearts that give us the passion and the desire to do something along with him. And it's because we cannot see, much less imagine, the outcome of what he has in mind for this. And I've had multiple guests, and I totally agree with this, say that it is his kindness that he doesn't show us the end result, because if we saw that, we might never, ever take that first step. But I've got to pose this question to you, this, you know, bigger than life, God-shaped dream that you have that's on your heart that maybe you've never taken a step toward, or you have done a few things, you've taken a few steps, you've made some efforts and either got stalled out or you just don't have time for it right now. But what if you didn't ever find or make time for your dream? I have a feeling if you're anything like me, you know what it's like to be on autopilot with your life. And I think this happens without us even really noticing, but you've filled your days with activities and appointments. I mean, adulting requires a lot of responsibilities, whether you have kids or don't, or your kids are grown. There's just still a lot of adulting responsibilities. And it begins to seem like the weeks and the days and the months, they're just flying by. Like whatever it is, summer break is just around the corner, or the Christmas holidays are not that far away, or graduation is about to happen, or the start of school again. Like these milestones, that I think the older you get to, these milestones just come at a more rapid pace. And then how quickly the months and the years go by. Have you ever looked, if you have kids, have you ever looked at the baby pictures of your small children? And I mean, my kids are 8 and 4, and I keep catching my husband like watching videos of our eldest as a baby. And I've had this thought of like, how in the world was she ever that small? She's 8 now. And I know she was a baby, but that was now 8 years ago. How in the world was she ever that little? But then when you're in the thick of it, when you've got that infant right in front of you, like, when is this day or this night ever going to end? And time has this way of playing tricks on us like that. Like the, what is the saying? The days are long, but the years are short. That is exactly what it is with kids and with life. And I mean, tell me you don't have like a COVID time hangover where you keep attempting to place events in your memory bank as either pre or post COVID. Where in the world did those years go? I mean, I don't even know. I still can't believe I have a child that's about to finish second grade, because in my memory, she's about to go to kindergarten. And scripture does have some things to say to us about how to think about spending time and what time is at all. So Psalm 90:12 continuously comes up for me. Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. And there is something to this idea of pausing to notice how we are spending our time. Maybe even taking the time to inventory how you spend your time, kind of like you would do if you were creating a budget for your family. You might sit down and assess, like, this is how much we spent on groceries last month. And so we either need to spend about that or less to make room for all these other things that need to fit into our budget. So could you do that? Take an inventory of your time to determine, am I spending my hours and my days in the way that I want to, or in the way that I would choose to if I sat down and consciously made a choice about that? Or have I said yes
to too many things that really aren't for me. And it was several years ago that I began to realize that I had kind of this yes mentality that if somebody asked me to do something, that as long as there was like an availability section in my calendar for whatever that thing was, then the answer was probably yes. I mean, you know, unless I wasn't qualified or whatever. So maybe like me, you've got a volunteer role that you've taken on that you didn't really want to, but that organization really needs you because there's no one else to do it if you don't. But what if your yes, what if your choice to hold on to that role, to continue with that role year after year after year, is actually preventing someone else from ever having the chance to step in and lead and learn and offer new perspectives? Have you ever thought about it that way? What if your yes was actually giving a no to somebody else that maybe God intended for that role? Or maybe you're in that midlife stage where I have to admit I have arrived and am coming to terms with my aging parents and my aging self and how I have great certainty that I have probably lived over half my life by now. And so the question keeps coming up. How do I wish to spend the rest of my years, the rest of my hours? How will I invest that time? Or as it says in Psalm 90, make the most of my time so that I may grow in wisdom. Lord, would you help me to do that? And at the same time as I'm having these thoughts about time, our church is in the middle of a series on the book of James. And this past weekend, which does not at all feel like a coincidence since I was recording this episode, shortly after, we were reading in James 4, and I have for you pulled out verses 13 through 15 in the NIV, which say, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." That was a quote. "Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Which when I heard that and was reminded of it, it felt like a strong reminder, again, that we have no idea how much time we have left. And we don't know how it will turn out when we say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. But given that this is our instruction, and even though it requires so much trust, we do know that our God is trustworthy. So as long as you are here on this earth, I believe he has something for you to do with your time and with your gifts. Not because he wants you to do something for him, but because he enjoys getting to walk alongside us as we pursue a dream that he's put on our hearts. So let's take that and talk about the how. How do you get started on a dream when your time is so limited and you're not sure that this thing is ever actually going to happen? And the spiritual answer is what I just talked about, trusting the Lord, leaning on him, being devoted to your time in the Word so you can hear from him, hear from his Holy Spirit, hear from the Word, and being in prayer over the dream that he's given you. But in addition to that, I have three suggestions that all of a sudden, as I was putting these notes together, kind of turned into like a go west, westward expansion, gold rush theme. I mean, you might ask me what my second grader is studying in history right now, but the three components of this I am calling circle the wagons, identify the gold, and start with the little nuggets. So circle the wagons. What I mean by this is outsource anything that doesn't have to be done by you. So here we are. We're talking about the how. How can I find time? Where in the world would I find 2 hours to devote to my dream? And 7 years ago, I would have said no way to this idea of outsourcing something that doesn't have to be done by me. First of all, we can't afford it. Like, we don't have the budget for that. Like, why would I outsource something? And then secondly, how could I let go of certain responsibilities that I felt kind of obligated to as a quote, good Christian wife and mom, or that like felt a part of my identity, things that I should do, like cooking and cleaning and, you know, 24/7 caring for my children. I mean, all of those things I think are tied up in like what I should do. Yes, there are things that you are responsible for. But my perspective on this outsourcing concept has changed in the last 7 years because I began to understand that no one else can pursue my dream for me. In fact, if I said, here, so-and-so, here's my dream, would you go do it? They might say yes, and then they'd go and do whatever they want to do, right? Like that, it makes no sense. So if God has put a dream on my heart, and yes, I have other responsibilities, but no one else can do the things that he's given me to do because he's given that to me. But there are people who can lighten my load. And with a little creativity, it can be a win-win for everyone. So lighten my load in areas where I don't absolutely 100% have to be the one involved in it. And yes, I will say that it was humbling. This is a little bit of a side tangent, but humbling to become a parent 1 to 2 decades later than many of my peers from the perspective of energy, sleep, exercise, like, and then the ability to do the things on my heart and still parent my children. I was tapped out at a point and I had to learn how to accept help. And there are so many options to consider, from house cleaning to caring for pets to meals to having a mother's helper come in if you play with your kiddos. Like all of these things, other than the pets thing, I don't have pets, but all of these things have played a role in buying me more time to pursue my dream. But I'm going to dig into one of these examples because I think this is an area that could actually have some real exponential support for you. And that's this idea of having a mother's helper. So if you live in a fairly populated community, this is more likely going to work for you, but it can give you a really good chunk of time to begin to see some results where you feel like I do actually have time to work on my dream. So here's what this looked like for us. We found a 10 to 11 year old girl with some babysitting experience. So it's not like they were a brand new newbie. And this was probably when our youngest was, she wasn't as young as 6 months. She probably was like 9 months and above. And maybe this could be, if you're thinking about your own circles of connections, maybe this could be a family at church or someone in your neighborhood. It's ideal, I will tell you, it saves a ton of time if she can walk to and from your home, you know, to hers. And then I usually would just talk to the parents about how they like to handle money. So a lot of times a kid of this age, at least where we live, they haven't had a job. They haven't done a ton of babysitting. They might have an allowance, but the parents probably have some restrictions on how, you know, money is used and saved and all of those things. And so I would talk to the parent, and a lot of times the mom would say, oh, she's so excited just to have a baby or a toddler to play with that she would do it for free, which is sweet. But I also do like to pay them a little bit to communicate that I value her time and that, yes, this is a job. And I'm going to talk to you about like the things that I want you to do with my child. But even that, like this age group made it like, even though I had very little budget, a couple dollars for a girl to spend an hour or two with my child while I could get some work done really was enormous for me when I had little bitty kids, actually even still now. But what I would do back when I had babies, toddlers, I would pick one consistent day per week. So like a Wednesday afternoon, and with summer coming, this is like the best time to do this because kids aren't in school and you know, there's not the issue of homework and all of that. But I would ask for a set time, you know, one day a week, 1 to 2 hours. And sometimes that time, whatever she had available, sometimes it would overlap with a nap for my baby, which was fine. I'd say bring a book or something that you want to do while the baby's sleeping. But I would teach her either how to put the child down for a nap or what to do if she arrived and the baby woke up while she was there so that she didn't have to ask me for help. And I kind of use this as a little bit of like a training or equipping role. So helping them like learn some babysitting skills so that when they had an opportunity for like a real babysitting job, when the parents aren't home, that there were some things they'd already know. So it was a little bit of like a trade in training for services, you know, because I wasn't paying them very much. But then, as it relates to how you would spend your time while a mother's helper was at your house, is that you plan ahead of time so that you know how you're going to spend those hours. If you have 1 hour, if you have 2 hours, whatever it is. And for me, in that season, I was scheduling podcast interviews. I knew that I had this little window of time that I could depend on. And so somebody could make an appointment with me and we could do an interview and I could get that done before that girl left for the day. Or maybe I was writing show notes or creating graphics in Canva to promote the podcast. That's what I was doing in those times. For you, it could be a time of writing, or you might want to go through lessons in an online course that you purchased, or you could be doing outreach to possible partners or clients, sending emails, like doing any of these little tasks. The point would be that you would know in advance how you're going to spend that time so that you could use it to the max. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to get interrupted. She's a 10 or 11 year old girl. She's going to need something, or that baby's going to cry. But to have that consistency over time, like let's just say over the summer, what a difference that could make in you finding the time for your dream. Okay, so that was circle the wagons. Now we're going to identify where the gold is. I'm still not even sure this metaphor works, but number two is to adjust your expectations and or your timeline of like what you imagine for your dream. So think about it this way. You know, if you're still in the camp of like, Merit, I have no idea how I would find 2 hours a week, even if I did have a mother's helper for the summer. You know, let's just hold that loosely for a second. But if you did have 2 hours a week, and if you had it for 50 weeks a year, that's 100 hours. That's even taking like 2 weeks off for Christmas or whatever. So even if you have small children, even if you don't have a mother's helper, even if you can't circle the wagons and you live in a small community and there's nobody around that could help you, you can still find those hours. And don't hate me, but you can find them at nap time. You can find them by getting up a little bit earlier than everybody else in your household, or by going to a coffee shop on a Saturday morning while your spouse watches the kids. Like, these are conversations to have with the other people in your life who love you and want to support you and probably know that you might need a break to do some things that you're trying to figure out how to do. So think about it this way. If you had 100 hours set aside just for your dream this year, how different could this year look compared to last year, where you maybe didn't set aside 100 hours? You might have had, I mean, you probably don't even know, but think about what 100 hours could do for forward movement on your dream. So in the first 3 to 4 years of the podcast, I produced a podcast episode just about every week, except when I was on a break. And I did that consistently. Wash, rinse, repeat. Now I am heading into year 7 of hosting this podcast, and I'm going on 300 episodes and going on 400,000 downloads. And did I imagine when I started in the summer of 2016 that it would ever get to that? Not at all. I had no idea. I didn't even set a goal. But what if, let's say writing is your dream. I know a lot of you are communicators and you want to write or you are writing. What if all you did was write 1,200 words every week, which I think is totally feasible in a 2-hour window of time. 1,200 words times 50 weeks is 60,000 words. That is an entire book. And the reason I'm illustrating it is in this way is because you don't need 40 hours a week or even 20 hours a week to make measurable, significant progress on your dream. You could do huge things with God in just 2 hours a week. Okay, that was identify where the gold is. And then number three, we're going to start with the little nuggets. So you're like, okay, Merit, I still don't know where I'm going to find the 2 hours. We're going to talk now in 15-minute increments. And this is one of the ways that I started out. This is actually something that I did as well. The first thing that I want you to do is a brain dump of all the little tiny projects that are small enough to do in a short period of time. So ideally, I like to do this in the notes app in my phone or in something like if you're more of a paper person or a planner person, like do it on a piece of paper or in a planner or on the notes app on your phone, something that you are going to have with you when you leave the house. And I want you to create a finish it in 15 project list. So finish it in 15 minutes is what I mean. And I want you to fill it with ideas of very specific things so that when you look at this list later, you're like, I know exactly what that means and I can start on it immediately. So here are some suggestions. something that you want to research to know more about, like you could Google it. Compose and send an email. If you have that on your list, like specifically say who it's to and what it's about. Follow up on an email that somebody sent you. Make an appointment with someone. Read a chapter in a book or listen to an audiobook or a podcast or a YouTube training. You could brainstorm other items for this list. You get the drill. You're trying to come up with things that you could finish, start to finish, in a 15-minute time period. And then here's step two. Anytime you are waiting anywhere, whether it's in the drive line at school pickup, in line at the pharmacy or the grocery store or at a doctor's appointment, or you're on hold on the phone with Xfinity or CenturyLink or whoever it is, you're going to need a headset or AirPods in order to multitask in this way if you are actually on the phone and need to be accessing the list on your phone. Or if you're waiting on another mom friend for a play date with your kids, I'm telling you, really, anytime you feel tempted to scroll, to look for something to do on your phone, to get on social media, even if it means you put this on the lock screen on your phone with a reminder, go to the finish it in 15 project list and do one of those projects. That's how I want you to find your 2 hours, 15-minute increments at a time over a week. And that's it. You would be amazed what you can finish in these bite-sized moments of time and start to make a little bit of noticeable tiptoe progress towards your God-shaped dream. Today, we talked about why time feels like such an enormous barrier, what scripture has to say just in a few places about our time, and then how to find the windows of time that you need to be able to say yes to the dream. And remember, this is just to like help you remember it. Circle the wagons, which is outsource. Identify the gold. So adjust your expectations of how much time you really need to devote to your dream. And then start with the little nuggets, those 15-minute increments as a starting point for devoting 2 hours a week to your God-shaped dream and 50 weeks a year. You can do it. I so believe you can do it. If I can do it, you can too. We also talked about my workshop that's happening on March 20th. I don't want you to forget about that. 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. If you are weary of your own excuses, if you are ready to get out of your head because you know that if you could just get organized, you could make this work, or that you could find the time, and that living out your dream instead of just thinking about it could actually be a source of energy to build that momentum and keep you moving, and you would love to experience other dreamers who are doing some of the same types of things you dream of doing, then this workshop on March 20th is just for you. Get yourself registered at meritansa.com/momentum. And this is something you're going to want to attend live because I plan to record it, but there is nothing like showing up live in person, maybe even a little bit nervous, and sharing about your dream and witnessing what God is doing in other women like you, and then walking away with motivation to find the time you need to pursue your own God-shaped dream. That registration link again is meritansa.com/momentum. I'll see you next week.